And welcome back to Coast with our special guest, Vernon Mahubal. We are talking about reading palms and hands, and we're going to do that with you in a moment. Also, if you just have a question about some of his trends and thoughts, I've got a few more of those. Check in with us on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, Vernon Mahubal with us. And Vernon, when we start taking calls again, what do you require from people?
Well, I want to do an exercise where everybody looks at their hands, and it's a very interesting exercise. We're going to look at the 12 segments on our fingerprint.
Left hand, right hand.
If you're right-handed, use your right hand, and if you're left-handed, use your left hand.
Okay.
Now, there are 12 segments on our fingers.
All right, just so folks know, we're talking about the three segments that you see on each finger, and you'll see your little lines through it. It's like somebody's got a little loaf of bread there, and it's
yes,
cut it exactly. Into threes. Okay, go ahead, Vernon.
Exactly. Now, I call these sections resource regions, and they will tell us what our passion is and what we're kind of born to do. And what we're going to do is look at the segment that is the longest. Now, we're not going to look at the width because some of these segments is.
And you're talking about segment, not finger, right?
Yeah, we're going to look at which of the 12 segments, which one is the longest. So we may even get out our ruler for this one.
Let me ask you a question about that, because
Yes. All
our fingers are different sizes. The finger you don't want to hold up is the longest.
The middle finger.
But
yeah.
So how do we compare segments when the fingers are basically out of line?
Well, we're only going to look at which segment is the longest. We're not going to look at the width. We're not going to look at anything else but which is the longest. And every hand will have only one segment that is the longest. So you can actually take a piece of paper and with a pen just kind of mark it off. One segment will be the longest. It could, and we're going to look at them. For instance, we're going to look at the index finger. The top one we'll call the upper, the middle one we'll call the middle, and the lower one we'll call the lower. So look at all 12 of them, and whichever one is the longest of all these 12, when people call and tell me which is the longest one, I'm going to tell them something about themselves.
Okay, let's do that, folks. Get ready. Those of you who are calling to get your hand palm read, let's save some time. Look at these segments and determine which is the longest. If you have a ruler, it's even easier, I guess, Vernon, right?
Yes, and even if one segment looks long to you, but there's actually one that's a millimeter and a half longer, it doesn't matter. If you explain which segment is the longest or the longer one, I'm going to be able to tell you a lot about yourself.
All right, we're going to do this. Vernon, I have a ruler about 20 feet away from me, and what I want you to do is talk for about 12 seconds right now while I go get it, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right, now, there's also something else I want to explain. We're also going to look at the pinky, and this is the easiest way to do it. One of the segments of the pinky will be the longest.
I'm back, by the way.
Okay, so I'm telling your audience that the first thing we're going to do, and this is the easiest way to do it, we're going to look at our pinky finger. And if you're right-handed, look at your right hand. If you're left-handed, look at your left hand. Now, the pinky finger is the finger of communication. And all I want you to do, George, is look at which of the segments, the upper, the middle, or the lower one, is the longest. And I'll tell you something about yourself.
So the pinky, it's the first segment, the one right at the top.
Right. So I call that the gift of gab.
Really?
And yes, so the pinky finger has to do with communication. So the upper segment has everything to do with, I used to call it the telephone finger, but because now everybody's on cell phones, I just call it the gift of gab. But it means that a person has no problem expressing themselves. Whatever they feel inside, they can express. They're effective communicators. Sometimes I just call it the effective persuasive communicator. Now, if your middle is the longest, I call that Wall Street. And what that means is it's communication, but it has to do with finances. That's a big aspect of it.
Interesting. So that one on my pinky finger is the shortest.
We've seen it on people who are into stocks, finances. They like to sell real estate. They're sellers. They like to market a product. They're very much into sales, marketings, promotions, that kind of stuff. In other words, they like to communicate things that make them money. Now, the lower one, if that is the longest one, that's communication, but it's physical.
And let me ask you: do you measure, because the lower fingers run into your hand? And I want to make sure we have accurate measurements. Do you measure right to where the line looks like a segment?
As soon as the segment leaves the palm, that's where you measure it.
Okay.
Now, there's only one technical part about this. Sometimes if we look at our middle segments, we'll see that there's two lines that are running horizontal. You measure from the very bottom to the one of the demarcation between the upper and the middle.
Oh,
so you'll see on your hands, you have, a lot of times people have two horizontal lines. So measure from the very bottom.
All right, let's try a call or two right now and see how you do, okay?
And if anybody wants any other questions about palmistry, that I will take those too.
Absolutely. Let's start with Susan in Roseville, California. Take it away, Susan.
Hi.
Susan and Vernon,
Hi.
Go for it. Hi, Suze.
Hi.
Did you want, like, a reading, or do you have a question?
I just wanted a reading. My pinky, the tip part of my right pinky is the longest, and then the longest finger, I think, is the middle, and of the middle finger, it's pretty even.
Which segment of your pinky is the longest?
The top.
As mine was.
So that's the same as George. And what that means is that you are a good communicator. Your career or your life work should be something in the world of writing, getting an idea across, getting a point across. You could even be very persuasive and convincing. So that's your energy. Use that.
I am.
And now, how about your finger?
So the middle finger is the longest, and it's really hard to tell.
Because it's actually on
99% of people's hands, it is the longest. And you know the interesting thing, George and Susan, that if the middle finger is very short, in other words, the index finger or the ring finger almost rivals it, it shows that someone has difficulty following rules.
That's interesting.
That they're people who have difficulty, let's say, with following the rules of society. They can be quite irresponsible and frivolous, that's seen on, let's say, 1% of the population. But the middle finger, it always needs to tower above the other three fingers.
I do have one general question.
Sure.
If it's possible.
Go ahead.
I'm really, really worried about the vaccine that's going to be mandated or not, because I have an autoimmune disease, and I've been in remission for years, and I'm afraid that it would cause problems for me, be ill again. And I'm hoping
George, could I talk a little bit about vaccines, what I see in the hand?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember when I was just talking about how the symmetry of the brains when we put our hands together in prayer mode and it kind of, let's say, brings the two energies together, the right and the left brain? So what I see, and I especially see this with kids who have autism, what I see the effect of vaccines is that We have a subconscious and a conscious, the left brain and the right brain, that are so absolutely different from each other. But in God's handiwork, they work perfectly together. Even though they have completely different jobs to do, they work well together. And what I see the effect of vaccines is that they break this cord, if you will, between the two. And it's almost like the two brains are kind of on their own. And there's no harmony between them. There's no symmetry. It's almost like the cord is cut between the connection. And so when somebody has, let's say, a disease of autism or anything that vaccines create, it's because you're seeing the two brains have, to a greater or lesser degree, become far from each other. And that's what I see with the vaccines. They have an ability to do that. Now, the interesting thing, George, is that I started to notice this in 2005 when a woman brought me her son, and her son, she said he was perfectly okay, and I named within 1 month when he actually started to get autism. And I said, "This is what happened Jeez. Then." And she said, "Oh, he got his round of vaccines." And since that time, George, I've been kind of researching that, and that's what I see as a palmist. In other words, these vaccines have an ability to sever the tie between the right and the left brain.
So you're saying, beware.
I am extremely concerned about vaccines, George, because of this. From a palmistic point of view.
Is it because of the speed they're working on it, or just because of a vaccine in general?
I don't really, my intuition is I don't really think these vaccines have anything to do with preventing any health problems. I think they split the two brains, and they take the wonderful abilities that we have of human beings, being able to use logic and reason and at the same time intuition and inspiration together in a beautiful way. They sever that ability of the human being to do that.
And Susan, you know, we're not going to tell you to take a vaccine or not to. That's a decision you must. But if you have some kind of autoimmune disorder, seriously, talk to your doctors and people like that. But Vernon, in terms of looking at it through the eyes of a palmist, he's not too happy with it. I'm concerned about the mandating. I don't like that at all. And I think if they mandate a vaccine, we're going to have civil disturbance beyond anything we've ever seen.
It's tyranny.
It is tyranny. It is. And it makes you question everything. It makes you question the real need for a vaccine because, again, this is where I come from, Vernon. If you've been vaccinated, what do you care if I have been? Because you're not going to get it from me because you've been vaccinated, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely. So, you know, if 10% of the population gets vaccinated, what do they care if the other 90% doesn't? Because they should be okay, I would assume.
And now I'm a big fan of biometrics because really what are fingerprints but biometrics? And I've been told by a few doctors, let's say, who have told me that they're very concerned that there's mercury in these vaccines, and that there's and they call it thimerol. But what is mercury doing? It's like the second deadliest, most.
Well, let's hope they take that out. But I'm also concerned about, and I'm hearing that they're going to, you know, change your RNA and DNA.
Right. Well, you know, George, this thing I'm telling you about this separation of the two brains, I'm already seeing that. I've been seeing that for years. And so that concerns me because we have a beautiful system that was created by God of these two subconscious and conscious brains, and they work perfectly in tandem. And then when that cord is cut, that's when boys and girls have problems throughout their lives. Well, because these two brains are not functioning in harmony.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Kelly, in Eugene, Oregon. Hi, Kelly.
George.
Let's look at your fingers.
I did. I got a long, on my middle finger, the bottom is the longest.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that means that you are peaceful when you have security and stability. In other words, you need a career that gives you a steady paycheck, or and you need a strong family life. You need foundations in your life. You need strong stability, security. And if you get that with your family, with a good paycheck, you have some money in the bank, you have a car that runs well, you'll feel a sense of peace in your life. That doesn't mean you're materialistic, but it means that you need those to feel peaceful. The other thing that this is about is that I have seen this on 60-70% of hands. You could even sell real estate, because
I do have a real estate license.
That's it.
Well, I'm a caregiver now, but I had one about 10 years ago in the state of Virginia.
Real estate, when I see this, I always tell people that's the real estate segment. So real estate will always make you money.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a bartender, too, for 30 years, so kind of done it all.
All right. Good luck. Thanks.
Hey, thanks so much. George, I want to talk about what is the coast-to-coast segment.
Okay.
There's a coast-to-coast segment. That's the upper section of the middle finger. If that's the longest, and most coast-to-coast listeners who are avid listeners will have this as maybe the first or second or even third. It'll be long.
Are you saying most coast-to-coast listeners use their middle finger all the time?
I'm only talking about the upper segment, George.
All right.
I'm just zoning in on that. I call that the ancient wisdoms section. When somebody has that as the longest, they're into the occult, they're into metaphysics, they're into paranormal.
Interesting.
They're into numerology, astrology, palmistry. I have not met a palmist or an astrologer or a numerologist that does not have this segment the longest or very close to being long. It is the section of looking at ancient wisdoms, looking at the occult, reading the tarot, all that. So most of our coast-to-coast audience will have this section very long, not the longest.
Do you look at the palms themselves as well?
Oh, absolutely, George. There's thousands of things to look at on a hand. We have the lines, we have the fingerprints, we have all kinds of stars and crosses and triangles and how the hand is held. For instance, if somebody keeps their palms with their fingers very clenched inside, they tend to like to hold on to their money. That doesn't mean they're stingy, but they tend to be very, very conservative about where their money's going to go. People who keep their fingers way out, splayed out, they're spendthrifts. They think, well, you know, I can afford this. Let's just spend. So just looking at the way a person carries their hands talks a lot about them. For instance, if someone is talking to you, George, and they keep their hands very close to each other,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even close to the heart.
Like clenched?
They speak. George Bush Sr. used to do that a lot. He kept his hands very, very close together. Now, that means that a person will speak kind of slowly, very carefully. They think about what they're going to say. It's on both sides of the
aisle. Very deliberate. All right, Vernon, stay with us. We're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, you might not realize it, but our truckers are keeping America going, delivering food to grocery stores all around the country. We're going to be talking with Benjamin Lohr about the secret life of groceries and the dark miracle of the American supermarket. Don't take it for granted. It's an amazing program. And then later on, we'll be talking about things to transfer your life from the Akashic Records. So that'll be on our next Coast to Coast program. And we're back with our final segment with Vernon Mahubal as we talk about reading palms. Vernon, why do we have all these lines on our fingers and our palms anyway? Why were we born with these things?
Well, the lines and the configurations are astrological symbols. Just in the same way that an astrologer looks at, let's say, Mercury's in Gemini in the third house, these finger segments, these lines, these symbols, all throughout the hand are exactly the same thing. It's an astrological chart. So people always say, we hear the phrase, well, life doesn't come with instructions.
Right.
But to a palmist, we don't agree with that at all. All our instructions are on our hand.
Then identical twins are not identical, are they?
Completely different. They're two different souls. So that's why they're so different. They're not identical at all. They may be born in the same womb, but they're different souls coming from different parts of the universe. What I see, George, is that when I look at identical twins, there is one thing I can always see, that they knew each other very well in a previous life. That's why they're born in the same womb.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of ends there. But they were very, very connected in a previous life. It could be father, son. It could be anything. That's what I do see. But yeah, the souls are completely different. Even their genetics and their DNA is different.
Let's go back to the calls. Marty's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the program, Marty.
Hey, thank you, George. It's a great honor to be on with you. I've been on your show a couple of times, but it's been with Ian, and this is a very interesting topic.
Sure
is. Mr. Mahubble, first of all, I'd like to say that I appreciate your enthusiasm. You're a breath of fresh air in what I would consider a very negative world, especially as I'm a Trump supporter. So I like what you had to say about that. Listen, I'll get right to my topic. I think I can do this in about 15 seconds, and then I'll let you tell me what you have to tell me. I've already found out that I'm a very convincing communicator based upon the tip of my pinky, which is interesting because I'm a preacher. I'm a Christian Bible teacher and preacher. Now, here's something you may find very interesting. You were talking about prayer a little bit ago, and I'm sorry if I've talked over you there, sir, but you were talking about prayer a few minutes ago. And I'm what you would call a charismatic believer, where I do a lot of raising of my hands in church services. And there's a Bible verse in the Old Testament that talks about when Moses raised his hands during a battle that the Israelites were winning. When he lowered his hands, they were losing. And I wondered if you could address this, but there's something very interesting about the largest section of my hand, which is the middle finger, the lowest part, and that is that when I was on a mission trip in 1988, at the age of 20, I dropped a flywheel on my hand, and to this day, I have a scar that is on the lowest portion of my middle finger. I thought that was very interesting. I wanted to see if you had anything to say in regards to scars on people's hands. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. The first thing I want to say to you is that, and I want to reiterate about the upper section of Mercury, which both you and George have, this is the section of people who speak for a living. This section, if it's the longest on the pinky, will be seen on writers. It will be seen on talk show hosts. Anybody that gives a lecture or a workshop and communicates in any way. And so your second comment is very, very interesting, because when we hold our hands up, we're holding them up to the universe, the planets.
That's right.
We're holding them up to heaven. When we're holding them down, where are we holding them to? We're holding them to the lower. In other words, just like the British have this thing called thumbs up. Thumbs up means I'm going to get it done. It's taken care of. I'll do it. Thumbs down means, hey, it'll never happen. forget about it. So when we hold our hands down, have you ever watched someone who's very angry? They keep their hands down in a fist. They're walking, and their hands are down in a fist, and they're walking. You know, they're angry. They're frustrated about something. But have you seen when people have gotten great news? They raise their hands. They go, oh, my God, yep. This is great. The hands raised show that you're calling out to God, to heaven. Oh, you know, look, I'm happy. You see? The hands raised is a sign of happiness. Hands constantly held down is could be a sign of frustration, even anger, you see, or just feeling kind of lost, you see.
And what about scars?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yes, I wanted to talk about that. So when we get a scar and it heals, it means nothing. But when we get a scar and it stays on the hand, it means there's a psychological or emotional aspect to that. So on that section, when he got that scar and it stays there, again, we're looking at the idea of foundations. He at that time in his life and some time before that, he was feeling unstable. He was feeling a lack of support system. He was feeling a sense feeling that no one's got my back. I'm here alone. There's a feeling of aloneness there a lot of times because there's no feeling of foundation. So when scars heal, it means nothing. But when scars stay on our hands, there's a psychological or emotional reason for that.
Interesting. Elena is with us in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Elena.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead, hon.
Oh, you're my neighbor. I live in Portland.
Oh, well, lucky us. Huh? I wish I wasn't here. Well, I don't like all these riots.
No, it's a tough time right now. So let's talk about your hands.
Yes, well, my pinky, my top part, I'm right-handed, is the longest, and my middle finger, the bottom part, is the longest.
All right, what do we have in store here, Vernon?
Did she say, George, that it's longer?
For the pinky.
The pinky and then the bottom segment of the middle finger.
Yes, you
okay.
Got it.
So again, that you could sell real estate or you could do things that deal with selling things that have to do with very secure enterprises. Such as selling real estate, warehouses, that type of stuff. It's the combination of the two. But having said all of that, always use your voice as your life purpose.
That's interesting. Let's go to Frank in Seattle. Hi, Frank. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a special situation here. I'm puzzled. You said only one of the fingers segments should be the longest, but my index, middle, and my ring finger on my right hand really are a wash.
They're the same size, huh?
Okay, so you're saying the upper of the index and the upper of the pinky. Those are about the same.
Yeah, all the upper ones from those three.
So what does that mean, Vernon?
So the upper index... if that's the longest, I call that the idealist. That's someone who's very visionary. That's someone who strongly believes that there's a higher force in the universe. There's someone who tends to somewhat be moral, not necessarily Christian moral, but just has strong standards and ideals and ethics. They're idealistic thinkers. Now, when you combine that with what he has, those two combinations, that's a common combo, it means that when he speaks, he will speak about a dream. This is what I believe in. This is the way I wish people are. I want people to go into greater self-awareness. That's how he thinks. That's the combo of them two.
That's great, Frank. Since you've been doing this, what has been the strangest thing you've come across, Vernon?
The strangest thing I've come across is that, you know, it's interesting, George. Sometimes people ask me, when you see something bad in the hands, What do you tell them? And mostly they're talking about accidents or death or, you know, disease,
right,
that type
right.
of thing. And the bad stuff that I see in people's hands is that we're in the wrong job. We're you know, so 90% of us are in the wrong career.
Do you matchmake people? Do you like the couple? Do you look at both their hands and say, you're a great fit or you're not?
Oh, you know, relationship counseling is one of the most wonderful things of what I do, George, because what you're doing is you're telling the other person what they're like, and it may take them years. Sometimes they don't even find out. In other words, what I see in relationships is that we tend, George, to give to our partner what we like, what are our desires,
rather than what they like.
Exactly. And so my job as a palmist is to say, well, you know, she has these needs. Her interests are like this. This is her life challenges. And his need is this. So the compatibility is about letting the other person know what they're like in.
Well, that is brilliant. And Vernon, you always bring us some great information. Do keep in touch. Let's have you back on again. His website, palmistryinstitute.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Michael Koseel, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Benally, and Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.